50 times. So obviously, 15% of the teaching of Jesus was about wealth, possessions, and finances. Now, the reason for this is because there is a spiritual principle that's operating here. And in Luke chapter 16, and this has been my foundation scripture, so let's just go there before we just, this is just a bit of review if you're joining us for the first time, or just, you know, we learn by repetition. When you and I are in school, we don't just learn English and verbs and nouns and all of these things just one time, one lesson. We're taught it from the time we're old enough to read and write, aren't we? Math, line upon line, precept upon precept. Well, the same with the kingdom of God. For you and I to understand the kingdom, it's going to be repetitious. You're going to hear it a lot. And then the penny's going to drop. The light's going to shine. The revelation's going to come. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And when that penny drops, when that light shines, when you go, aha, I see it. I get it. I understand it. And now you begin to process it and walk it out in your life. Now, all of a sudden, you're operating in something you never operated in before. And life begins to then change. The power of the kingdom then emanates to you and through you and changes the outside kingdom of darkness that we're living in, because we're in this world, but we're not of it. So if I don't know that I have access to an invisible kingdom of unlimited resources, and this is how I enter it, and this is how I work it, and this is how I operate in it, then I'm going to be bound by this world and the kingdom of darkness that wants to rule my life, and that is called mammon. It's God's system, giving and receiving, and mammon is Satan's system, buying and selling. Luke chapter 16. If you look with me, in verse 16, or chapter 16, verse 9, Jesus has just told them the parable of the unjust steward. He's just had the unjust creditors of the master cheat him. And he says in verse 8, so the master commended the unjust steward because he had dealt shrewdly. For the sons of this world are more shrewd in their generation than the sons of light. I say to you, make friends for yourself by unrighteous mammon. That when you fail, not if you fail, but when you fail, they may receive you to an everlasting home. He who is faithful in what is least is faithful also in much. And he who is unjust in what is least is unjust also in much. Therefore, if you've not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches? And if you have not been faithful in what is another man's, who will give you what is your own? Now, there is a key here. Jesus says there is something that belongs to you. Luke chapter 12, verse 32. Go there with me. Luke 12, 32. Verse 31 says, but seek the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added unto you. Verse 32, fear not, little flock, for it's the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Romans chapter 8, verse 17 says that we are heirs. We are joint heirs with Jesus, heirs of salvation, heirs of the kingdom of heaven. Sell what you have and give alms. Provide yourselves money bags which grow old, which do not grow old. A treasure in the heavens does not fail, where no thief approaches nor moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there is your heart. What Jesus is saying is that mammon is a god. Money is connected to mammon, or money is connected to the kingdom of heaven. Money is not evil in itself. It's only a tool. Before there was money, there was bartering, buying and selling, trading. Money is just an object. Money is a replenishable resource, like a glass of water. There's not a limited amount of money. There's only so much money I'm going to have, and then I'm not going to have any more. That's the kingdom of darkness. But in God's kingdom, money's a servant. It's like this bottle of water. When I drink this water up, I'm not going to just think, oh no, this is all I'm going to have. I better save this water for a week. This is all the water I got. I don't have to worry about that. Why? Because water is replenishable here. There's lots of water. There's an absolutely unlimited amount of water that you and I have available to us to wash and to drink and to do what we need. Well, it's no different with money. Money is replenishable because money is a tool. Mammon is a god. Mammon would like to control your money. Mammon would like to control your life. Mammon would like to tell you how you're going to live, where you're going to live, what you're going to do, how you're going to do it, what your kids are going to be able to do, what schools they're going to be able to go to, and what you're going to attain to in your life. You see, mammon is a god. And he's under the rule of Satan. It's Satan's kingdom. But God said, I took you out of that kingdom and I brought you into the kingdom of the Son of my love. He is the King of the kingdom and he is able to do that which is exceeding and abundantly beyond all that I could hope or ask or think. He's the God of the impossible. What is impossible with man, he said, is possible with God. That's why Jesus came preaching and teaching the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, because he was teaching us and it was show and tell time through the gospels of what it's like to be a citizen of the kingdom of heaven and live in this natural world, because as he is in this world, so are we. And if I see him doing it, guess what? The same spirit that dwelt in him, he's put in me. He's the head, I'm the body. If he did it, I can do it. If this is how he wants me to live, this is how I'm to live. And this is why the tithe is so important, because he knew that money was tied to mammon or tied to God. And he knows that our possessions and materialism can be very, very powerful. And he wants to set me free from that God. And he wants me to be, subdue, have dominion, rule, be fruitful, and multiply on this planet. Which means that everything that's under his feet is under my feet. Which means the God of mammon and materialism and deceit and delusion and deception and selfishness and greed and fear and covetousness and envy and all of these things that accompany the love of money is under my feet. So, tithing is important because it helps us, and I'm going to give you six things about tithing today, what it is, the who, the what, the where, and the why of it. The tithe is holy to the Lord. It doesn't belong to us. In Leviticus 27:30, let me read this verse to you. And all the tithe of the land, whether of the seed of the land or of the fruit of the tree, is the Lord's. It's holy to the Lord's. It's holy to the Lord, all the tithe of the land. He told Israel, now we saw that the tithe came before the law. It came in Abraham. Tithed to Melchizedek. We saw that last week. We see that Jacob tithed when he was at Bethel, the house of God. He gave a tenth of all of his things to God. So the tithe means 10%. If I have a dime, the tithe of a dime is a penny. If I have a dollar, the tithe of the dollar is 10 cents. If I have $10, a tithe of $10 is $1. If I have $100, a tithe on $100 is $10. If I have $1,000, the tithe on $1,000 is $100. If I have $10,000, the tithe on $10,000 is $1,000. Are you with me? If I have $1,000,000, the tithe on $1,000,000 is $100,000. Are you with me on that? 10%. It is not 2%. It is not 5%. It is not 3%. It is not 7%. It is 10%. And the tithe is like a training wheel on a bike. It teaches me as an infant how to begin to come in to the new nature of generosity and why I am on this planet, which if everything belongs to God, then here's the statement I want to read to you, and here's the question. The basic question is not how much of our money we should give to God, but how much of God's money should we keep for ourselves? Oh, I'm going to say it again. The basic question is not how much of our money we should give to God, but how much of God's money we should keep for ourselves. Oswald Sanders, who was the general director of the Overseas Missionary Fellowship, known as the China Inland Missions, wrote this. And it's a brilliant statement. The basic question is not how much of our money we should give to God, but how much of God's money we should keep for ourselves. Because you see, it all belongs to God. Your limbs, your mind, your ability to think, your ability to breathe, your family, the roof over your head, the car that you drive, the clothes on your back, the food that you're going to consume today, everything that is visible and everything that is invisible belongs to God. And God has given you and I dominion to steward it, to manage it, to oversee it. We are stewards, managers of God's things. And money belongs to God. How much of God's money am I going to keep? Because you see, basically, what I believe the will of God is for you and I to step into the supernatural realm of generosity and understand that money is replenishable. It's nothing more than something that flows to us and through us. And that God wants to bless us so that we can be a blessing and establish his covenant on the earth. He's called forth a people to be generous. Now, that's not something that comes overnight. You don't wake up one morning and just say, I want to give it all away. I'm going to live destitute on the streets and beg for God. Because there was a part of the church that did that in the first century. But see, God didn't tell us to do that. This is a learned process. Generosity is who we are. We now have a generous, loving, giving spirit. We've been born again. It's our new DNA. Nature is inherited. Character is formed by the choices we make. But you inherit nature. A dog is a dog. Linus, my little Yorkie poo, no matter how many times I give him a bath, if I send him outside in the backyard, he's going to roll in the manure pile if he can find it. Because he's a dog. A pig is going to go back to the pig pen because she's a pig. Sin nature is going to go back to sin nature because that's the nature. But when I got born of the Spirit of God, I became a new creation. Old thing passed away. Everything became new. And my new nature is one of agape love, the power of God, and the generosity of God. God is the giving spirit, and so am I. But I've got to learn how to step into this. Because my old nature is still alive and well, and I still worry, and I still want things for myself. So this isn't something that just wakes up one morning and boom, you're just a giver. This is something that you do strategically and you work at. So don't be too hard on yourselves, but I'm going to challenge you today on the tithe. Are you ready? Where does the tithe go? The tithe goes to the storehouse, the local church. Malachi 3:8-11 says, will a man rob God, yet you've robbed me? But you say, what way have we robbed you? In tithes and offerings. You are cursed with a curse, for you've robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse, into the temple, into the place where God is. The local church is the storehouse. If you are from another church and you are right now a girlfriend's, your tithe goes to your local church. If you're listening online, your tithe goes to your local church. If you're part of the Rock Church and World Outreach Center, your tithe goes to this storehouse. It's the church. It's where you are taught. It's where you're fed. It's where the money is taken. It pays the bills, yes, but then it goes into all the world, and it's a worthy place. It's a place where you see, is there fruit here? What are we doing? That's why at the Rock, we feed the poor. We clothe the naked. We heal the sick. We believe in world missions. We have a missions project, lots of missions in 140 nations. We believe in this. We believe that this is to be a giving church, and we are a giving church. It's the storehouse. How is a tithe to be paid? Well, I'm glad you asked. The tithe should be given when it's received, and I'm not going to argue with you about gross or net, because the government takes our gross. If I'm going to give the government off the top, then wouldn't I give God off the top? Because again, when you ask these questions, again, you're thinking, how much of my money am I going to give to God? And you're not thinking, how much of God's money am I going to keep? See, it's a perspective. And until that penny drops, until you get it, until you get that your life is not your own and your money's not your own and God doesn't want you broke, busted, and disgusted. He takes pleasure in the prosperity of his people. He's the Lord God that gives you the power to get wealth so that his covenant can be achieved on the earth. John wrote to the church and said, beloved, I wish that you would prosper even as your soul prospers and be in health. God doesn't want you poor. He doesn't want you just getting by. He didn't call you out of slavery and to live in the wilderness, a land of just enough. He's called you into his promises. He's called you to abundance. He's called you into a place of prosperity where you can lay your head down at night and you're not worried, where your bills are paid, where your children have food and they have clothes on their back, and whatever they need to do, you're going to be able to do it. Now, I'm not talking about your needs or our greeds. But I am talking about our necessities and our wants. God will take care of us. And when I learn to give and money doesn't have a hold of me, then God outgives anything I could ever believe or dream of, because he's a generous father and he loves to give us things. He loves to spoil us, but he's after my heart. He's not after my money, and he's after the kingdom of heaven and his purposes, and he needs a vessel on the planet that he can get the blessing to and through. So the whole point of this is I need to understand that my mission on earth is to learn how to live to give my time, my resource, and my heart, all of it. So if you're not there, at least now you have a goal. It's to be paid to the house of God. How am I to bring my tithe? With thanksgiving. Deuteronomy 26:3 in the Amplified says, you shall go to the priest who is in the office in those days and say to him, I give thanks this day to the Lord your God, that I have come to the land which the Lord swore to your fathers to give us. We bring the tithe with thanksgiving. Lord, thank you that I've got something to give. I'm to bring it with worship and rejoicing. Deuteronomy 26:10-11. And now behold, I bring the first fruits of the ground which you, O Lord, have given me. And you shall set it down before the Lord your God and worship before the Lord your God. And you and the Levite and the stranger and the sojourner among you shall rejoice in all the good which the Lord your God has given you in your household. God says, bring the tithe with rejoicing. Understand that when you begin to tithe and you release the power of mammon over your life and you begin to enter into my economic recovery system, that there's something waiting, that there's something to rejoice about, that you can be thankful. You're not going to be without. You're going to have more than you've ever dreamed of, but you don't give to get. You give because you're grateful. You give because living, he loved me. Dying, he saved me. Buried, he carried my sins far away. Rising, he justified freely forever. And one day he is coming. Oh, glorious day. My life is not my own. It belongs to him. And I tithe because I am grateful. And I love him. Six reasons why I tithe. I'm going to go fast. Number one, tithing is a priority with God. It's God's priority. He wants me free. He's a jealous God over me. He's a jealous lover. He doesn't want to share me with anybody. He doesn't want to share me with anyone. He doesn't want to share me with demons. He didn't want his princess, his daughter, his beloved, his bride. He doesn't want me bowing down to any ugly, old, stupid God that belongs to darkness and will be sent to hell. He wants me his, exclusively his, royally his, waiting for him, ready to please him. He is a jealous God, and it's his priority. He knows that it's tied to my heart. It reveals my treasure. Luke 16:11. Therefore, if you've not been faithful and unrighteous, mammon, who will commit to you, trust the true riches. He's just waiting for me to grow up. Because he's got more to give me. It's like the story of that little girl that had that pearl, pop pearl necklace. You ever know what those little pop pearls were? I'm from the 50s, and we used to have these pop pearls. You could pop them in. They were little plastic beads, and they were called pop pearls. They looked like the real thing. They were plastic. But to a six-year-old, it looks like the real thing. There was this little girl, and she loved this pearl necklace, and her daddy knew how much she loved it. Her daddy decided that for her birthday, he was going to buy her real pearls. So every night, he'd go into her room, and he'd say, honey, because she'd wear this pop pearl necklace to bed. And he'd say, honey, can I have your pop pearls? Will you give them to daddy? And she said, no, daddy, I like them too much. Let me just wear them tonight. She didn't know that daddy had in his hand hiding real pearls. He did this night after night after night. She would not give up those pop pearls. It was all she had, and she loved them. They were her favorite thing. Finally, one night, she said, daddy, if you really, really want them, I love you more than I love these pop pearls. And daddy, here they are. She took them off of her neck, and her daddy was just waiting. And out of his pocket, he pulled these real pearls. And he said, honey, I was just waiting for you to give up your treasure so I could give you the real treasure that I had all this time waiting for you. See, where my heart is my treasure. God wants my treasure to be tied to him and nothing else. Tithing is a priority with God. Number two, tithing is a means of proving God. It's God's permission for me to prove him. This is the only place in the Word of God, and Jim's taught this if you haven't been at the Sunday morning sessions, but if you have, you've heard this, but let me say it again. Tithing is God's permission to prove him, to test him, to try him, to examine him, to investigate him. The word for prove in the Hebrew, I wrote it out, I copied it out. Oh, I'm going to probably slaughter this pronunciation. It's bachan. Bachan. I don't know. I don't know how to say that. I'm not Hebrew and I don't speak it, but this is what it means. I don't like this, and I got to put glasses on now to read anything, but I'm restored and healed in Jesus' name. It's a primitive root. It means to test. It means to investigate. It means to examine. It means to prove. It means to try. It means to put on trial. God says, this is the one time that I am asking you and giving you permission to put me on trial, to put me to the test, to try me, because this is what he says. Malachi 3:10. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse that there may be food in my house. And try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts. If I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such blessing that there will be no room enough to receive it. And I'll rebuke the devourer for your sakes, so that he'll not destroy the fruit of your ground, nor the vine will fail to bear you in the field, says the Lord of hosts. And all the nations will call you blessed, for you will be a delightful woman, says the Lord of God. Whatever you need, I'll be able to get into your hand. Prove me, daughter of God. Prove me, widow. Prove me, single mom. Prove me, poorer than poor. Prove me. Prove me. I'll open the windows of heaven up, and I'll pour you out such a blessing. I've got real pearls for you. You're hanging on to those pop beads, daughter, but I got something real for you, and I need you to step into this and trust me and try me, because this is the only place where I'm allowed to do that. And God says, come on, baby, bring it on. I don't know about you, but I'm saying, yes, sir, let's go for this. Why do I tithe? Because tithing is God's priority. It honors God. He's an honorable God, and he deserves the best I have. That's why it's off the top, and it's not from the worst of the flock. It's from the best. When I bring my tithe, it's right off the top. It's the first thing. I take it out of my checking account. I write a check every single offering because I love to give into the offering. But I take the amount out of my checking account right off the top. I take more than 10% now because I've grown up and I'm able to tithe more than 10% right now. So I'm doing more than that. But listen, my goal is 50%. Then it's 70%. I'm not there yet, but I'm getting there. And I'm believing God because he said I could prove him. And I'm believing God that he's going to prosper. Gemini, he's going to prosper. For our hands so we can pay off this church. We can pay off churches. We can feed the widow and the orphan. We can clothe the naked. And we can bring communities into this valley that aren't here yet. That's what I'm believing for. And I'm proving God. I'm saying, okay, Father, I'm giving more than I've ever given in my life. But God, I have a need. I have a desire to bring the kingdom of God. He says, prove him. He says, number one, I'm an honorable God. Bring me the best. Number two, prove me. What else? Number three. Tithing is God's provision for you and I. Now, by the way, these are all P's. So you can write this down. Number one is priority. Number two is proving. Number three is provision. It's God's provision. There's three things God does, and then there's three things I'm to do. It's God's priority. Number two, it's God's permission to prove. Number three, it's God's provision to you and I. Tithing. God says in Malachi 3:11, I'll rebuke the devourer for your sake. He'll not destroy the fruit of your ground, nor shall the vine fail to bear fruit for your field, says the Lord. Luke 6:38 says, give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, because it was talking about barley and grain, because they were agrarians and they grew things, and that was their wealth. It was in the land. They were farmers. That's why we have this example. He says, give. It'll be given to you. Good measure. The measure that you meet will be given back to you. You got a spoonful, you'll get a spoonful back. You got a shovel, you'll get a shovel back. You got a skip loader, you're going to get skip loaders back. But give. First give. I got to put the fuel in the fire before I get the heat. Give God's part, and it will be given unto you. It's his provision. Good measure, shaken together, pressed down, and running over. God will give into your bosom. Girls, tithing is the beginning of destroying mammon's power over us. Money's stronghold is destroyed when I begin to give. Every time I give, I say, I'm showing you, devil, I'm trusting him. I'm trusting him. I'm trusting him. I don't give because I have. I give because, number one, it's God's priority. Number two, he said to prove him. It's permission to prove him. He says, I want to take care of you, but I need you to believe me too. Number three, it's his provision for me. When I give, it releases the windows of heaven, and it gives God. I position myself into the favor of God. You see, it's not something that God owes me. Giving is not a debt to be paid. And God now owes me. That was the law. Tithing is not a debt that I have to pay God. Tithing comes out of a heart that says, you are God. I'm bringing you my best because I love you, and it's the honorable thing to do to show you that I love you. I give it rejoicing, and I give it with a generous heart. God loves a cheerful giver whose heart is in their giving. God doesn't want you coming in with your tithe just going, well, here it is. Now I'm going to be broke, but, you know, here it is, God. No, then don't give because you've just cursed yourself. Giving says, God, oh, man, I got two mites. It's all I have, but, and I'm putting it in the treasury. I can't wait because I'm trusting you. I don't have anything anyway, so what's the difference whether I have $10 or whether I have no dollars? Because, God, I don't got it anyway, so I'm really trusting you. That's what the widow with the mite did. That's why the tithe is holy. You don't think that this church has a responsibility and an accountability before heaven and what we do with this stuff? It's holy. It's all you got. You're bringing it to the storehouse. The storehouse has a challenge and an accountability before heaven. I fear God. So does Jim. That's why we don't touch it. It's not for us. I don't take your tithe. It goes to do the work of the ministry here. Yes, it pays our salary and it pays others' salary because God says we're to work and be paid by the gospel. And it's fair and just. And we're generous with our staff because they work hard. And God says a double portion to the pastors, to those that teach the word of God. So we're obeying God. We're good to our employees. We better be. This is the kingdom. But it's a holy tithe. And it belongs to God, and I better not mess with it, and I better not waste it, and I better do what I say I'm going to do with it. If we say we're going to pay off this church with Freedom for the Future, we're paying off this church. Woe unto us if we take this money and do something else with it. Are you hearing me? There is accountability in the kingdom. It may not come today, but I guarantee you there is a throne that you and I are going to, and there is accountability in that throne. And I don't know about you, but I don't want to disqualify myself for leadership by messing up with money. That's why I want my own money. God knows that, and that's why I'm going into business. I'm proving him. He said I can have a business because I'm a Proverbs 31. She considers a field and she buys it, and from her profit she plants a vineyard. I got the word on it. What do you want? What do you want? What's a dream in your heart? What do you think you can do? Well, I don't know. I'm just a single mom. I don't have anything. I'm on welfare. Well, that may be what you are right now, but that's not who you are. That is not who you are. There's a whole lot more to you than that. Use that for a season of time until you can get yourself out of it. And as you start to tithe like that little widow, that mite is mighty, God's going to take you by the hand and say, okay, now let's get you into school. Let's get you trained. Let's get you diligent. Let's get you a job. Let's take care of the kids. Watch and see. Oh, that talent that you don't think is anything, that thing that you like to do and you think, oh, nobody notices. Well, I gave that to you. You can actually earn your living with that thing. Oh, come on, somebody. This place is a place to dream. Girlfriends is a place to dream and soar. Say, there's more to me than meets the eye. Men may look at me and think I'm nothing, but God looks at me and he's put his spirit in me. He's put his wisdom in me. He's put everything in me I'm going to need. There are businesses sitting in here right now. There are wealthy women sitting in here right now. You're not wealthy yet, but you will be. Don't you dare go after it because you want the riches. Go after it because you want the kingdom. Because the question is not how much of my money am I giving God. The question is how much of God's money am I going to keep. Number four. So number first three things. It's God's priority. It's God's permission to prove him. It's God's means of providing for us. When I give, he gives back to me. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together. Now, number five. Now I'm going to go into our responsibility. Three of God's and three of ours. Tithing is my protection for my investments. It's protection for me. When I tithe, I have the peace of God on me. I can lay my head down at night when the bills are there, when I don't know how I'm going to pay things, when we're behind $200,000 every offering at this church because of recession, and I don't know how we're going to make it, and I don't know if we're going to have to lay off staff. See, Jim and I carry things you don't carry. So if I didn't know this stuff, I couldn't do it. Are you hearing what I'm saying? But you see, when we tithe and when we give as a church and I tithe personally and I give personally, I can lay my head down at night and I know that I've paid it forward. I know that I put my treasure in heaven where moth can't destroy it and eat it, where rust can't eat it away, and where thieves can't come and steal it, because my treasure is not on this earth. My treasure's in heaven. I have paid it forward. It is my protection. Sorry, I need to calm down. Luke 12:33 says, sell what you have and give alms. Now, this is actually number five. I said it's number four. So I got out of order, but who gives a rip? Sell what you have and give alms. Provide yourselves money bags which do not grow old, a treasure in the heavens that does not fail, where no thief approaches nor moth destroys. When I tithe and I lay my head down, I know that my God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. I know my God said, prove me, child. You develop a generous heart and you start giving, I'll be generous with you. Doesn't mean there's not giants in front of my promise. Oh, hear me. Doesn't mean there's not a fight of faith that's going to have to happen for me to get into the promised land. It doesn't mean that this thing's going to be handed to me. God did not give me a golden goose. He did not plant a golden apple tree in my backyard. He told me I'm going to have to work. I'm going to have to discipline myself. I'm going to have to walk in integrity. I'm going to have to plant a seed and let it grow. I'm gardening right now. Oh my gosh. I have this garden in my backyard. I have just planted my carrot seeds. My carrot seeds are probably 1/100th of a millimeter. Can't even see them. I have to put magnifying glasses on to even see the seed to plant it. I have to put it in the dirt. This little seed that looks like a speck of dirt, I put it in the dirt. Then I have to cover it with dirt. Now it has to be buried. Now that little tiny itty bitty carrot seed has to move a mountain of dirt that is now on top of it. It has to move that mountain. It's like, God, why did you do this? And then penny dropped, light comes on. I'm not an agrarian. Suddenly I'm a gardener. And I'm saying, oh, God, you put the seed on the earth to teach us about faith in heaven and the word of God. The seed is the word. When you plant the seed of the word on the inside of your heart, which is your soil, it's got to die. It's got to germinate. And you got to wait for it. Man, I'm out there every day waiting for those carrot seeds to come up. They have not come up yet. It's been 7 days. I'm looking at my clock thinking, they're supposed to be here. I'm reading the little thing that says germination time. 7 days. I'm thinking, they're not up yet. They're not up yet. I want to dig up that seed so bad. I want to take my little spoon and just kind of just move the dirt away just a little bit to see if there's any sign of life. But you see, I can't. I have to trust that seed has the power in it to move the mountain that I planted it in, and that from that seed is going to come what I need, that carrot that I can eat and nourish myself and my family with. Well, it's no different with the Word of God. When you have given, you have planted your seed in the kingdom of God, just like my carrot seed, you got to plant it. It's going to take some time for it to germinate. It's going to have to die. Then you got to get it wet. You got to water it with the water of life and the Spirit of God and prayer and understanding. And you got to resist the temptation to dig that seed up to see, whoa, isn't it here right now? Because it's grown and you can't see it. It's moving mountains that you don't know about. It's doing things the impossible that you can't see, just like my little carrot seed. Moving tons of dirt in comparison to its side. That's a ton of dirt on top of it. It's a mountain on top of it. The word of God that you've planted, as you've given, is moving the mountains of demonic power and the giants that want to keep you from the prosperity and the blessing of the Lord. And God says, you just hold on. You've paid it forward. It's your protection. You put your head down at night. You understand that you've planted. And now I've said to prove me, understand that I am the God that will not leave you nor forsake you. If I am for you, who can be against you? You don't have to worry. All you have to do is understand that I'm in charge. I'm in control. It's coming. It's coming. You just keep planting. You keep hoeing. You keep pulling up the weeds. You keep putting the water. You do it. You do it. You do it. Are you with me? Number five, which is really number four, but it's number five. It's our means of participating in God's work. Oh, darn it. Gotta hurry. 2 Corinthians 9. God allows me to invest in his kingdom. Have you ever thought that if you don't do it, who's going to? What if God needed us and we're MIA, we're missing in action? See, God has ordained that we bring the tithes to the storehouse, that people fund the gospel. People fund it out of their giving. Why? Why is he doing that? Does he need our money? He could have grown golden trees. Could he have not? Could he not have invented a golden tree? Could he have not given us a secret little deal that just grew gold bricks in the backyard that nobody knew about? Could he have not done that? Could he have not given each church their own mystical, magical little pouch? And that when we reached into that pouch, that boom, we could just pull out money. And whatever we needed was just in that pouch. And it was all ours, just the pouch. God gave it to us. He could have done that. He's God, right? But you see, he's wise. And it's his system. And he knows me, and he knows you, and he knows my heartstrings, and he knows the power of mammon. He says, okay, I've taken you out of that kingdom. Now you're going to learn how to rule in agape love. You're going to learn how to take dominion. You're going to learn how to subdue. You're going to learn to have dominion. You're going to learn now that you are a participant, that you are a part of, that you are the body of Christ, that I have given you authority on this earth. Therefore, I need you to grow up, stand up, be accountable, and do what you're supposed to do. It's my participation in the kingdom. What's the verse? 2 Corinthians 9. So Paul says, well, you are enriched in everything for all liberality, which is giving. For you're enriched in everything for all giving, which causes thanksgiving through us to God. For the administration of this service not only supplies the needs of the saints, but it is also abounding through the many thanksgiving to God. When I give, you know how I said last week, it's more blessed to give than to receive. When I receive, I get blessed, right? When you get something, you get blessed. When you give it away, somebody else gets blessed, right? So it's a double blessing. I get blessed, and you get blessed. You see, it multiplies the resource. So when God says, I've invited you into the family business, you are fishers of men. You're heirs of my kingdom. Now, you're not going to hoard this thing. You're going to give this thing. And as you give it away, it is your participation. And as you participate, you're going to go, ah, that felt so good. And all of a sudden, you start bearing fruit. All of a sudden, you start seeing the fruit of your giving. All of a sudden, you get addicted to giving. And you say, oh, man. And then you don't want anybody to know. You just want to give it secretly. You just want to give it here. You want to give it there. Because there's such a reward in not just getting it, but giving it. Because you have the nature of God. God so loved the world that he gave. I hope you're seeing this. My last one, why I tithe, number six. I tithe because it is my practice of faith, discipline. I get to practice my faith when I tithe. I didn't wake up wanting to give money. I didn't wake up one day and just said, I just want to give it all away and just be generous. I woke up one day and said, how in the heck are we going to do this? And I didn't say heck. I wasn't born generous. I was born selfish and a worrier and a budgeter, looking at every penny that came in and wondering how it was going to come in to get what I needed done, done. I checked the mail. I checked everything I could check. And then one day the penny dropped. One day the light shone. And one day I realized, God spoke to me and said, look at the water. It was water. He used water at a restaurant. He said, look at the water. I drank it all. He said, are you worried about that water? I said, what are you talking about? A missionary. I was with a missionary from South Africa, actually. He was telling me how broke they were. I was feeling bad because I couldn't give him anything because we were broke too. So there was two broke, there was a broke missionary and a broke pastor all having dinner at, thank God it's Fridays. There we were. Oh, mighty woman of faith, man of faith. There we were. I'm thinking, how in the world are we going to help this man? God said, look at the water. And I looked at it. I drank it. We all drank it. They just kept bringing us water. It was like, God, would leave us alone. They just kept bringing us pitchers of water and pitchers of water and pitchers. It was like, enough already. We got five pitchers of water on this table. What's going on here? Ding. God said, it's replenishable. It's replenishable. Money is replenishable. Resource is replenishable. But you've got to understand, you have to give it. And discipline, the discipline of faith is that you do it every week, every month, year after year. You plant the seed. You plant the seed. It's the discipline of faith. And this is my last verse. It's my practice of practicing my faith. Discipline. Discipline is that which I do not want to do today that I do so that I can have what I really want tomorrow. Discipline. I do that which I do not want to do today so I can have what I want tomorrow. And it says in James, and this is my last verse for you, 2:26, for as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. Without a corresponding action of obedience, I don't have faith. And when I tithe, when I discipline myself to write that check, to give, now I'm giving offerings because we're asking freedom for our future. We're in this stewardship campaign. We want to pay this church off for the next generation. Well, you don't even, I just lost my house. My house isn't paid off. No, your house isn't paid off, but let's pay God's house off and watch God pay off our houses and restore us to what we need to have. Let's put the fuel in the fire first. Let's don't worry about our house. Let's don't worry about anything, but let's believe God. So offerings are over and above the tithe. I'm just telling you, the tithe is the training wheels. The tithe is where we start. You're not under the law, you're under grace. How much of God's money am I going to keep for myself? The penny has to drop. Nothing I have, I own. I'm not taking anything with me. There's not a hearse following your coffin. We're stewards. We're accountable. And God says, prove me. Six things. It's God's priority. It's God's proving permission. He gives me permission to say, try him, test him, prove him. Okay, Dad. Guess what? I do that all the time. I'm on my bed at night saying, okay, Lord, I'm in this business right now, and this is nuts. Things are costing more than we ever dreamed. But God, you said, prove you, prove you, prove you. So God, I need deals. I need wisdom. I need a buyer. I need the supernatural. I need to breathe on this thing. I'm proving him. I'm proving him. I'm proving him. I'm proving him at the Rock Finances. I'm proving him in everything because he said I could. So I'm going to. I'm going to bug him. I love him, but I'm going to bug him. I'm a bit of a nag. But he gave me permission. He said, I'll rebuke the devourer for your sake. It's God's provision. It's my participation. It's my protection. It's my practice of faith. Tithing. It's the training wheels of generosity. Darlene, will you come up? We started at 10 after 10 today, and I've spent about 45 minutes on this message, but I'm not going to apologize for it. Because I'll tell you, if I can help you see, and I know some of you in here are so broke, you don't have two nickels to rub together. And you're listening to me right now and you're saying, oh God, she does not know my situation. No, I don't. But he does. And I don't see in here, where it says, if you're poor and you don't have two nickels to rub together, you don't tithe. You know why it doesn't say that? Because God says, I want you to test me. I want you to trust me. I want you to walk in faith with me. I want you to get off of mammon and get on the kingdom. That takes obedience. Darlene wrote me this testimony. And Darlene, how old are you?
How old am I? 76.
Okay, is she a gorgeous 76? And I know that you've had a challenge with your health.
Yes, I'm getting my shoulder replaced this week, or next week.
Yeah. But something else, you had cancer.
Yeah, I've had cancer 3 times. Operated on 3 times.
Right. And you're still here.
I'm still here. Yeah.
Okay, so Psalms 92 says, that when we are old, that we'll not cease from bearing fruit. And in the Amplified says, and we'll be living memorials to the next generation to declare that God is faithful. Now, Darlene's 76. I'm going to be 63, so that's 13 years ahead of me, somewhere in there. And I'm looking at Darlene thinking, okay, this is who I want to be when I'm 76. This is a role model for me when I'm 76. I want to be as fresh and vibrant and beautiful and full of faith as this beautiful woman is. She is a role model to me. And she wrote me a testimony about her tithing. And I just said, you know what? Let the older women teach the younger women. And I just thought it would be good for you to hear from her and have her share this testimony with you so that it could heart, you know, faith comes by hearing. So will you share? You've got about 6-7 minutes, but I want you to do it in a short time. Because I took all the time.
Okay, about 40 years ago, when I was still in the Catholic Church and I was newly saved and newly filled with the Holy Spirit, and we had a group, it was a revival time, and a lot of Catholic women were getting saved and filled with the Spirit, and we gathered together in a home because we needed to be taught. You know, we were so hungry for the Word. Anyway, we had a Pentecostal lady come to teach us things, you know, that we didn't know about the Scriptures. And at that evening, she started teaching us, and she stopped in the middle of the lesson, and she said, she moved in the prophetic realm. And she said, God just told me that I have to teach on something else. And so she stopped, and she started teaching this other lesson on tithing. And we in the Catholic Church had never heard it taught on tithing, never. And when I was in the church, I would always kind of sneak some money out of my grocery money and out of my household money to put $15 in. And that was a lot of money those days, you know. And so I put part of it into St. Vincent de Paul Society for the Poor and part of it into the church. And my husband was an atheist at the time, and he did not go to church. And of course, you know, he didn't tithe, of course. So anyway, she's talking about tithing. And at the time she's talking, I'm being convicted by the Holy Spirit because I've never heard it before and I haven't done it, you know. And so I'm thinking in my mind, well, when I get all our bills paid off, I will talk to Dick about tithing. Maybe he will be ready by that time to listen. And we had all of our credit cards maxed out because he'd went in business for himself and it had failed and he owed everybody. And so we were way over our head in debt. And so as I'm thinking of these things privately, not saying thing, she stops the lesson and she looks right at me and she said, God just told me the lesson was for you. And I'm saying, and then I said, yes, I know, but you see, I don't have a job, and I don't have any money of my own, and my husband's an atheist, and he doesn't believe in God, nor the Bible, nor the church, or nothing, and so, I can't really tithe, you know, and she said, God wants to know, are you willing to tithe? And I said, well, yes, God, if I could be made able, I would definitely be willing. I'm ready, you know, I know. And so she said, well, then you just tell God right now. God, I'm willing to tithe. And she said, let him take care of it. And so that's what I did. I told him. And then that week, my husband's a bread driver, Wonder Bread Company, and he drove bread to the store. And as he's driving along, evidently, this is what he tells me later, this word keeps popping into his head, Malachi. He can't get away from it. Everywhere he's going, this is coming in his head. So he comes home, And he's one of these, you know, few words men. And he says, what's Malachi? And I said, it's a book in the Bible. So he sneaks my Bible into the bedroom. He never has read the Bible before, ever. He sneaks it into the bedroom and shuts the door. And then he never has went to church with me up to this point. So Sunday comes along, and out of the clear blue, he says he's going to church. So he goes to church with me, and I'm trying to sneak my little $15 check where he won't see it. And he looks over at me, and he says, you have to make that for 30 because we have to tithe. And you know, from that day to this day, we have never not tithed. And I don't know how God did this. I have no idea. And I have wasted a lot of time trying to figure it out. But within just a few months, we didn't owe anybody anything. And I don't know how he did it, because it was the same job, same bills, same everything, but we were out of debt. And we have never been in debt since. We've had our home paid off, our cars paid off, our kids all went to college. We raised other people's kids. We had like a halfway house there for a long time and took in strays. I mean, we never did without, and we always had more than enough. And as you can see, God's blessing and miracles, everything we'd have to buy, he would give us this incredible bargains on. He rebuked the devourer for our sake, definitely. So, I mean, God just says, prove me. And he sure did. And my husband got wonderfully, miraculously saved just a few months down the road. And that's another huge, miraculous testimony I'll tell some other time. But anyway.
You are most lovely and so precious. Oh, isn't she beautiful? She's just so beautiful. We're so blessed to have such treasures in this house. And I just wanted you to hear that. He'll rebuke the devourer. So, darling, I would like you to do something. We are going to get you to panels. And we started late today, so is it all right? We're okay. Would you pray with us? Because I think that in here, there are women that are willing. You want to. You have a want to. But you don't know how to, right? And I just loved what she said to you. She said at the Bible study, she said, well, do you want to? And you said,
I said, of course, God, if you make a way for me to, I want to. I want to because I'm being convicted. You know, God rewards obedience. And when he says, don't lean to your own understanding, he says, you know, do it my way. In all your ways, acknowledge me, and I'll bring it all to pass. And that's what he does. You know, you don't say, how can I possibly do this? I cannot pay what I have to pay here. But you pay him right off the top. That's his. Right off the top before you start making another bill. You pay him right off the top, and you just trust him with it.
So would you pray? Let's stand. And we're going to take up offerings. We're going to put a basket in the back today because I could take up an offering and you'd all give right now. But I'm going to put a basket in the back, and I want you to give your tithes and your offerings back there today because I want to get you to pay.